You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 596. The full crew, back in style, ready to rock your ears with intense music discussion, dissection, and general speculation. Let's go.
One day and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart, free and lover's soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the guarded gate. There's not much time left today.
And we are back at the Punk News Podcast. We got a full house. Amy B, how's it feel to be back with the crew? Rocking.
It's great. I think I'm a little loopy today, so you're going to have fun.
Well, as Sammy B knows full well, I am totally out of sorts today. Not for any reason, just because I guess I'm just losing my mind. So I think everybody's going to be loopy today. Hallie Bullitt, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the loopiness level in the HB domain?
I would say more crabby than loopy. I'm definitely crabby. My family's been like steering clear of me this evening.
Oh no.
But I like, John, I liked that you said that the podcast is a lot of music speculation, because I would say that is definitely true. We do a lot of just generally just speculating about music.
And more, do you think you will be the target of Hallie Bullitt's crabby ire and path of destruction this evening?
I didn't think so, but now I'm worried.
And more,
my laser beam crabby focus is on you now.
No.
And more, will you be dropping passive aggressive digs towards us three just to generally annoy people and strike while we are in a weakened state, you know? like MLB. So Sam, that's interesting. John, what do you think? Or maybe you didn't think it through yet, you know? Stuff like that.
It's what I'm known for, my patented zingers.
Hallie, can you envision M being mean? I don't know if I can envision that.
Can I envision M being mean?
Would you like to see M being mean?
No, but you know what? M is very funny, so I could see M like using humor in a way to like, I do you know what I'm saying? Like I mean, M, I know you're joking about zingers, but like, you are funny and sharp when you want to be, and I could see that if someone pissed you off that you could maybe use that against them.
Well, she did just survive a tornado, so, and hasn't had power in a while, so she might be internet deprived, and that might be interesting this week.
Yes, I have run my phone out of battery too many times so far, so now it's just like locked away.
Well, but everything's up and running again now.
Oh yes, yeah, we're good.
But good.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Everybody's out of their mind or pissed off or feel like being mean or just playing crazy. And then that's what tonight's episode is going to be. It's going to be a wild and wacky episode. And speaking of things that are wild and wacky, here's something that's real wild and wacky. And it was wild. First of all, I was there, people, and I saw this firsthand. But also, people had very strong opinions about it. I'm going to get into the article. I never once in my life have I ever written an article that said, oh, this will really provoke the comment. That I've never thought of that ever. But sometimes when I'm like, oh, this will just be a hilarious thing that everyone will think is hilarious, it like pisses people off. I never think what the general commenters think, which actually might be kind of a good thing. Anyway, so here's the wild and wacky story. Last week was Maryland Death Fest down in Maryland. And during the set of Autopsy. A couple engaged in oral sex after about the second or third song, and it was kind of gnarly. They were doing oral sex right there on the pavement itself. And if you're at Maryland Death Fest, you know that it's literally a parking lot. So it was a parking lot. People were standing there, and there's a whole bunch of people watching them do the full act, I mean, all the way. Hallie Bullitt, do you think I need to describe the exact details of the oral sex, or do you think we should let people look it up themselves on Twitter, which they can?
Maybe we could just clarify, like, what the genders were of the couple and God what and the girl. Gender was of the person that was getting pleasure.
Fair enough. God,
that was
God
so clinical.
I'm going to see if I can answer this clinical. Male was lying prostrate on the ground doing the work while the female was on the receiving end. Crazy. I've got some very strong thoughts about this, and I'm going to mention that I've got very strong thoughts about this, but the commenters universally hated this, which really surprised me, but I'm going to get into that in a second. First of all,
did you say that you were there?
I was there. I saw it.
That's amazing. John didn't tell you that. That's hilarious.
Wait, had very good, he's just always been at the right places at the right times. It's strange.
But, Jen, you have strong thoughts. But so you said that you posted it because you just thought it would be, like, something that people would laugh about. But at the same time, you're saying you have strong thoughts about it. So I'm very curious to know what these strong thoughts are.
So I posted because I thought everyone would laugh about it, like the time the person cracked it in the turnstile pit, which is hilarious. Like, I thought this is the exact same thing, basically.
Pee lady.
Right, exactly.
Although that was on stage, which I actually think is slightly different. But okay, go on.
So anyways, it's gross. I wouldn't do anything like this. But on the other hand, I mean, it's gross, but it's like funny and weird. And I love posting about funny and weird things. And it's just like a bizarre thing that I mean, really the kind of the best kind of PR a band and or a festival can have. I do wonder, like, I think it has to be planned out unless they were both tripping, which maybe they were really both tripping. But so anyways, this seems crazy and it kind of blew up all over the internet. But on the other hand, it actually isn't that crazy. At Woodstock and any other hippie festival from 1968 to 1974, people were banging at festivals all the time. I mean, Jim Morrison got countless BJs on stage. Like, that was his thing, which is gross. Oh, also, asterisk, I'm going to talk about Sammy Hagar in a second anyways. This is not that – I mean, it's gross. I'm thinking, like, is this kind of like the degradation? Like, are humans really devolving in that, like, people are meaner to each other? People drive meaner. People are ruder. Pleasantries are gone. Are people just evolving into animal states? They can't even not have oral sex in front of people, like, on the ground. Like, they're so animal. They can't control. They can't say, let's go back to the hotel and do it. I think they wanted to get watched. Like, I think it's just a wacky stunt that they decided to do, and they pulled it off. Those rascally kids, they pulled it off. But what I'm saying is, this is crazy, but I'm going to get, like, super heavy here. But on the other hand, you know what's way, 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 way crazier than this? Jeff Bezos, like, using, like, slave labor and unethical trade to make billions and billions of dollars and costing hundreds of thousands of Americans jobs. Or you know, people like Levi's or whatever using, you know, slave labor in Sri Lanka to make pants. So compared to that, this is nothing.
I love a good Bezos bash, but I do not understand how you just segued into Bezos in this story. I was here for the conversation, and I still don't understand.
I'll mention Bezos. He's just all over, first of all. Like, you see Amazon commercials all over. But I'm just saying is Bezos is an evil man. He's an evil man, you know. And so,
is there anything you'd like to see Bezos do in the pit?
I'm going to give the nasty answer, but then the truthful answer. The nasty answer is, yeah, I'd like him to say, hey, kids, watch this, and then put a gun in his mouth and blow his brains out. What I want him to do is be in a pit and see the joy in the world and say, wow, everyone here is having fun. And you know what? And the Ebenezer Tight Scrooge thing, he's going to be like, wow, I don't have to be a miserable kook that lives alone in my castle and, you know, ruins people's lives for my profit while everyone else praises me and thinks I'm a great guy, even though I'm the worst guy ever. I am going to take only half of my money. So I'll still have $100 billion, and I will invest it in farmers. I will invest it in inner-city schools. I will help out entire countries that have deadly malarial problems. I will do these things, and I will be a good guy. And that's what I would like him to do. Anyway, let's talk about Bezos. He lives
He's just in the pit, and he's just like, I care, damn it. I care now. Like a Grinch, like when the Grinch grows. I love it.
So anyways, Bezos is rent-free in my mind way too much. I will not talk about Bezos for at least three episodes. How about that? Unless it's like a news story or something. At any rate, this is gross and nasty, and I wouldn't do it, but it's also hilarious. Things can be gross and hilarious at the same time, a la Guar. So I approve this, and I think it's great. The commenters are like, you know, how can you sink any lower, you know? And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's just wacky, weird, bizarre funniness. Like, I really don't get the protest. I do know that Jesse Luscious of The Criminals, who was in Punk of the Age, where Punk was kind of wilder, he thought it was funny and cool. I also point that all the people complaining are people that write the nastiest comments about, like, other band, like somebody in a band, especially women, will be like, you know, I worked on this for the past 3 years. Here's my magnum opus song. And they'll just put in a comment like fart, you know what I mean? Or something even more nefarious. It's like, your concern isn't genuine. What annoys me about these commenters, among many things, and they live too rent. Well, they actually don't live rent. The only time I ever think of them is when I read the comments. But it's like, they pretend they're very anti-racist and anti-sexist, which actually I think they're very sexist and not anti-sexist, but they put on this facade. What they think is, it's okay, you should be anti-sexist, anti-racist, and blah, 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 because that's what a punk does. But I can be perfectly mean in other ways, and that's just fine. Which, no, the point of being anti-racist and anti-sexist is because you're supposed to be a nice person, a good person. You know, it's, anti-sexist isn't like something that you should do just because it's a magical thing. It's because a nice person isn't sexist. A nice person isn't racist. And so they think they can be mean in other ways except for the exact classified ways what you're not supposed to be mean in, which is so bizarre and I can't stand it. And then I just don't get the protest. I think you're just being dicks, frankly. Last thing in my asterisks, I was listening to an interview with Sammy Hagar a little while ago, and I can't stand Sammy Hagar. And the interviewer was like, Sammy, so I heard that you used to go under the stage during Van Halen sets while Eddie did Eruption and get BJs. And Sammy Hagar was like, yes, I did. That's what I would do. Not every time, but a lot of the time. And I'm like, oh, my, that is so gross. I'm not trying to be Mr. Prude, and I'm not trying to be Mr. – but it's like – so Eruption is about 4 minutes long, 5 minutes long. So what Sammy Hagar has to do is run under the stage, unzip his pants, get a BJ, zip up his pants and run back. How is that, like, enjoyable at all? Like it's just gross and weird, and it's a bizarre flex, and it's crude and crass. And Sammy Hagar is telling him the story because he thinks it makes him sound cool. It doesn't make him sound cool. It makes him sound, like animalistic. It's like – John, do you like ice cream? It's like, yeah, we'll eat this gallon of ice cream in 2 minutes, John. it's like there's no fun there. So, like, what the hell is the point? I can't stand it. Instead of Bezos living rent-free in my mind, Sammy Hagar will be living rent-free in my mind for the next 3 weeks. So be prepared for Sammy Hagar to get popped right and left. Was my stance right or wrong? Should I post this, or were the commenters right that we should not post these kinds of stories and should only post about Hot Water Music releasing a track that they'll pretend to care about but don't actually care about and will forget about in 2 months? Go ahead.
No, you know, it's definitely – it's news. I guess, you know, it's news. I mean, you report on it because it happened, especially because you were there. And then if people, I don't know, they're offended, they can, like – you know, click to the next story. I don't really see people getting up in arms about it. I mean, it's, if it were a band that I really wanted to see, I'd like sort of like annoying, disruptive, attention getting behavior in the pit does bother me in general, especially if it's a band I really want to see. And I'm like, come on. Like, I'm just trying to fucking get my show on here. Like, stop like doing fucking, stop tripping and doing weird push-ups in the middle of the fucking crowd or whatever you're doing. You know what I mean? But you know, if it's a band that I don't like particularly, I'm not like passionate about seeing, I don't think I would be like, see, I think I've, you know, it's like you said, just sort of like hilarious and like, oh well, punks will be punks. Hardcore kids are going to be hardcore kids. Like, I don't think I'd be like too up in arms about this, you know? I don't know.
Oh, I have one other thing to add, though. If you actually, did you all watch this video, or were you all like, I don't need to see this?
So anyway,
I did not watch it.
like, people, especially dudes, are crazy, and it is, and I, like, this is a safe, like, people need to kind of be careful, and that, like, things can go from, like, weird and funny to, like, absolutely way out of control and like in 2 minutes, because like they're having oral sex in the pit, and then like dudes are like getting closer and like taking pictures, you know, a little creepy, but I guess it's weird and funny. But then they start like slapping the girl's ass and stuff. It's like things are getting a little too crazy here, you know, and before you know it, other things are happening. So like there's something about dudes that, like, I don't know if it's a primal mechanism or whatever, but like things can go from like 3 to like 15 in like a minute, and it gets way too crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like taking pictures they're doing in a public place, it's funny, maybe that's fair game, but you shouldn't be touching people. Even though it's you shouldn't be touching people, that goes from weird and creepy to especially weird and creepy and maybe dangerous. You know, right? Am I right? Or am I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's a fine line between whatever, like, this is weird, but then yet again, we are punk news. We've been punk news for a while, and we run on volunteers doing this for too long. We all have weird opinions on things, and sometimes it ends up on the site, and this is what happens. I think we've had a lot of conversations, John and I, about things on the site, and the commenters are one of them, and I choose not to read the comments because they just like to hurt everyone's feelings sometimes. People go on the site to get information, and if you don't like it, you move on. If you feel like commenting and being a commenter, then fine. But, you know, that's just what we have here. And this specific thing today... I'm going to chalk it up as performance art because I don't know where to put it. I definitely don't think it is. I don't know if it's like, you know, the fact that we have a rise of OnlyFans happening right now, where normal people can do things and make money off of it. That, like, people are now, like, seeking places where they're like, oh, I want to live my true fantasy. And maybe these two have a fantasy of pleasuring each other or pleasuring one person in the middle of a pit because, you know, apparently now there's poo and pee happening in the pit. Not just dancing and a lot of sweat and beer drinking. So, this is weird. Yes, this is very weird, but I do think that if John felt like putting it up on the site, then it belonged there. Also, I guess we can, like, compare this to if NoFX did something weird, like, you know, Cokie the Clown and Russians, would the commenters feel differently about that? Just playing devil's advocate, you know. Yeah. Em, do you have anything to say about this?
Yeah. Yes. So I watched the video and, like, yeah, like, it's so weird because everyone's around them, and then they're throwing beer cans at them, and, like, I hope they're empty, but I don't think they were. And then, like, yeah, John, like, what you were saying, how, like, the one guy comes up and just starts, like, smacking her, and it's like, do you know her? Are you a part of this? No, fuck off, you know? Like, yeah, what they're doing, like, good for them, I guess, you know, all for people... fly in their freak flag, but, like, you know, I looked this up because I wasn't sure if Maryland Death Fest was all ages or 18 plus, and it's all ages, and on their website, a quote is,
don't have sex on the ground.
a good thing for everywhere. But it says, so feel free to bring the kids. It's like, hey, kids, check her out. But, like, yeah, I don't know. Their focus was really something. I was very impressed because, like, there's so much going on and, like, the band's going on and everything's happening. And it's just, he's on a mission, she's on a mission, everything's going.
Yeah, well, no, she squatted for a really long time, apparently. Oh
my God. Well, like, that's the other thing. Like, how, I don't understand how you can do that and have, like, not break his nose, you know, when it's, like, time, you know? She must have legs of steel. That's it.
Wait, I really should have watched this video. What's happening that could have broken someone's nose? What?
Well, like, you know, like, when... completion occurred.
Pause. Say B, I love M more trying to keep on these slides. The greatest thing I've ever heard. M more, please continue.
Welcome to my my sex talk. But you know, like the goal.
Yes, the goal, sure. Yeah.
Like, how would you, like, not lose your legs and just go, like, right into his face? You know? It's like, whoops!
Oh, okay.
Good job, you don't have a nose anymore, but, like...
Well, I'm just saying, knees on asphalt's probably not the most comfortable place to be.
Yeah. Asphalt's probably not the best for really much. And I have an asphalt fetish.
Yeah, or and I'm sure it was hot.
It wasn't that hot. I mean, it was hot, but not like unbearably hot. No, it was pretty hot. At any rate, will the same thing happen at Punk New Summer Soiree 5? You'll have to come to find out. So listen, here's another thing from the Charm City. Baltimore hardcore band Endit have released a video for Hatekeeper. The video takes place at the Player Haters Ball, which of course is a homage or satire of the Players Ball, which I think is in Chicago, but I'm not sure. The Players Ball is a famous literal pimp convention where like actual pimps like meet up and like hang out and bring their girls or whatever. And that's like a real thing. I don't know if they've done it the past few years, but I learned about it through South Park when Butters became a pimp, which was hilarious. but the Players Ball is a real thing where actual pimps show up and like, I guess, discuss the latest pimping developments and technology. I'm going to asterisk that too. We'll talk about that later. So anyway, and it has a video where they're at the Player Haters Ball. I had some fairly strong thoughts on this video, so either I can kick it off or one of you all can discuss Endit's video.
I just was trying to think if I'd ever seen fedoras and leisure suits in a hardcore video before. I think the answer is no.
No.
So I thought this video was hilarious. I love the intro spiel is like as something out of like Escape from New York or something. And then the video is like the band dressed as pimps rocking out to an audience that hates them. And I thought that was hilarious and clever. And also I think the idea of Player Haters is funny as opposed to Players Ball. I have two things to say. It's A, I think the song is pretty good, but I do notice that right now there's a real resurgence of what used to be called beatdown hardcore played by more intelligent guys. And I think all the people in this band are pretty intelligent and thoughtful, but the style of music is mid-90s, early 90s New York beatdown style hardcore, which at the time was the most blockheaded music ever. And they're applying that style to their music. And frankly, that style isn't super interesting. It's been done before and it all kind of sounds the same. I thought the song was good, but I feel I've heard the song a million times before. And I think this band clearly has wit and whimsy to them, and I think they could probably push their music while still being a hardcore band, as evidenced by this video. I thought the song was okay. I wasn't blown away by it, and I think the video steals it. And what was the other thing that I was going to say? Anyway, I thought this video was very funny. Will the song make me want to buy this band's album or go check them out? Honestly, probably not so much.
Hey, like, I'm with you. I mean, I also, like, I thought both were fine. Like, I thought the song was fine and the video were fine. I didn't dislike either, but I wasn't, like, blown away by it either, you know?
Along those lines is the band isn't doing this, but in like the late 90s, like there was like a thing like where pimps were cool. It's like, damn, you a pimp. Two things I want to mention. So like, damn, you a pimp. And then there was even that song, It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp, which is like the most twisted message ever. Like if you hadn't, not that I've been around a lot of pimps, but I used to live in San Francisco and there are old school pimps in San Francisco, especially if you go to the Great American Music Hall, there are actual pimps one block down between, and the reason I know this is because if you walk from Great American Music Hall, there's a great pizza place one block down and you got to go past the pimps. And I got to say, like pimps are not cool, like at all. Like what they do is they don't want to work. So they beat women and sell them out. And make them do lots of nasty things so they can get paid because they don't want to work. So I know, like, pimps in abstract are funny and cool, but they're really, like, kind of the lowest scum there is. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and this isn't a positive or negative, is I would say since the 80s, but especially these days, hardcore seems to borrow a lot from hip-hop culture. Like the word haters, that comes from hip-hop. And the logos and the font use, that's just something I've noticed. I know that the first bands to do that were the New York hardcore bands where they would write their font in graffiti style, which comes from hip hop. And I don't know why hardcore and hip hop are kind of intertwined in that way. That's just an observation I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. What did you guys think of this video and its and pimp? What do you think of pimps?
Yeah, Sam, what do you think of pimps?
I have not met a pimp that I know of in real life. So I don't want to say they're horrible human beings yet, but I don't think that their profession is that great. I do find it hilarious that these guys are in character for most of the video and that the concept of it, the entire video is they sought it through. So congratulations for even doing that. I do think that there is a correlation between hardcore bands and hip hop. I don't know where the intersections of them colliding happened. It could also be that, like, you know, in New York at one point, they're, you know, like, I think back in the day in New York, you just had shows and it was like shows for a lot of things. I don't think it was like, you know, emo specific or hardcore specific. So it could be possible that there was shows where they just threw a whole bunch of people on and, you know, you just met people and knew people, and you're friends with them and they just so happens to be a hip hop band or whatever, you know? But yeah, no, that is, the resurgence of that is kind of interesting and it's kind of nice, I would have to say, that is happening again. Because sometimes, you know, like, I don't necessarily want to sit through an entire set of hardcore bands. Sometimes I might want to sit through a different band in between, like, you know, like an appetizer or something. So, yeah. Em, what is your take on this?
I liked the video, and I liked the song, and, it's funny because the first thing when I when I heard the song, it was like, ah, yes, when I read the comments and I'm pissed off, I'm going to listen to this. That was like my first thought. So the video is the best. And then at the end, like the singer, he's accepting the Play a Hater Award, and then he, like, gets up and calls them all motherfuckers and tells them he hates them and their band and the way they breathe, and then, like, walks off.
When he said, I don't like how you breathe. That was...
Yeah. That was the line of the video. It was so funny. But, yeah, I liked the song. I think maybe it was because of, like, the headspace I was in that I really liked the song. And the video. As for pimps, I have not, Sam, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't believe I've met any. Their profession isn't the best. It's like they're a landlord, but worse. And the hip-hop hardcore connection is very interesting. And I never really gave it that much thought, to be completely honest, because it was just like, oh, yeah, that's just something that kind of happens. So now I'm just, like, giving it more thought. And it makes a lot of sense.
You could write an entire thesis about it, Em.
You definitely yeah. could have, like, a college. You could get, like, a master's on that thesis. I'm sure you could, you know, in some respect. I'm surprised at this roundtable's, I guess, reticence to castigate pimps. I thought we would all be extremely anti-pimp, but...
I'm extremely anti. I mean, they basically kidnap and enslave women. They're horrible. I would think it would go without saying.
100% anti-pimp. Yeah.
I think that I would have to, like, make my stance on pimps clear.
Well, again, we all said socks.
If a woman wants to sell her body, she can just do that on her own. She doesn't need some fucking guy to, like, bully her and beat her up about it. No, horrible.
There's also OnlyFans. Go get the OnlyFans account.
Here's another college thing with technology and with things like OnlyFans and all that kind of stuff is I wonder if the pimp trade is declining because technology means you don't need a pimp anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, no, it's just that we call it sex trafficking now, right? And that's really what they always were. Yeah. That's what pimps always were. They are sex traffickers, you know?
I agree with 100%. My question is, but is that going down or is it the same or is it higher with the internet? I mean, that's just a question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it depends where you are, because I know, like, around here, it's a really big – human trafficking is a really big problem because, you know, like, for in a rural area, you go to, like, a bigger town, and then that's where they kind of hang out and wait for, like, vulnerable young usually women. Yeah.
And not to get too deep in the woods, and we probably should wrap this section up real quick because I don't really know anything about this. And I don't want to say anything crazy, which I don't mean to. But the other question is the pimp market the same market as, like the online sex? Like, are those the same people? And so it is meaning pimps are declining, in which case it's good? Or is it just, like, total degenerate? Like, it was, like, total degenerates that go to – of course it's total degenerates that go to pimps. But I'm saying is that affected by the online pervasiveness of – sex work. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I think it could be different markets, but it could also be the same market. So it just depends on the human seeking things.
That would be an interesting thesis, but it'd be so hard to get actual real answers because it's illegal on one side. You know what I mean? So anyway, pimps are bad, you know, bad pimps. Don't
I hate how they breathe.
Here's something that if someone wants to spend their money on, maybe they should spend their money on. Kurt Cobain's guitar has sold for $4.5 million, and it was only supposed to go for $600,000 to $800,000. It is now the second highest-selling guitar ever, with the highest being Kurt Cobain's guitar from MTV Unplugged, which went for just over $6 million. What surprised me, I would think that the Smells Like Teen Spirit guitar would be worth more than the Unplugged guitar, but what do I know? The person that bought it was a guy called Jim Irsay, which I had no idea who this was, and everyone, like, knew who this guy was. Like, what an I guess he owns some sports teams, and so this guy actually is famous for buying lots of guitars. Like, I Googled him real quick on Wikipedia. He owns, like, a Jimi Hendrix guitar. Like, he owns all these famous guitars, but he doesn't even play the guitar. Seems like a bad investment to me, but maybe, what do I know? At any rate, I don't know if there's anything that – I guess the question is, do people have too much money? Would you all spend that much money on a guitar if you had that much money? And is Kurt Cobain overrated, or should a Kurt Cobain guitar be worth $4.5 million and more? What do you think?
If I had that much money, I would probably not – be spending it on guitars. I would be spending it on things that I can use and things that would help people. But in the story, it mentioned that a portion of the funds went to a mental health charity. So that's important. So the donation is good.
I'm going to be jaded here, but it is good. The ultimate effect is good. It's like, yes, we donated a portion to charity, the exact portion that would have been the substantial part of the tax that we would have owned from this income. But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean.
They did one of those.
Oh, those bastards. Okay. That's a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like that. The guitar, like, it's cool, but what are you going to do with it? Like, you can't play it. I guess you can tour it around and put it in a museum and stuff, because, you know, the video is, it smells like Teen Spirit. It's an awesome video. You know, like, everything's really iconic, but I do think that there's a bit of, like, a problem with wanting to own things that other people have owned. Like, it's kind of creepy. Cause it's like, yeah, it was Kurt Cobain's guitar. That's wonderful. He used it. You know, it's really awful that he's not here and whatever, but like, give it to somebody who can learn guitar. Like, this is what musical instruments are for. They're to be played. They're to be passed down. They're to be used, you know? So, well, I get why people collect things like that. It's also like, use it, do something with it, like, use it to benefit society. Because Nirvana had such a big impact on so many people and so many bands, and Kurt Cobain, his impact, again, on people and bands was massive. I don't think he's overrated. But I think people's need to feel close to somebody they don't know is a little off the charts.
I understand what you're saying, Em, but also, like, some things are just, like, collectible. I mean, like, are you against, like, museums? Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know what you say.
Like everything at that costume museum, like, people should be wearing clothes. Why aren't you wearing those clothes? Like, I do think, like, some things, like, we're not using because they've already been used to do something really cool, and now we're just trying to preserve them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like, I get that. But it's also, like, you have other guitars of his.
Yeah.
Like, give it to the family. Or something.
Well, so the thing about Kurt Cobain and thing about Nirvana, according to my husband, because he's Nirvana's like one of his, like, you know, bands that he got into, like, really, really young. It's, I guess, his gateway bands, right? We mm-hmm. all have them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kurt Cobain was notorious for destroying his guitars. Like, there's videos of him at festivals mm-hmm. having a fit and then him just, like, tossing things. So, like, the fact that, one, this guitar still exists in a condition is great. Two, I also went to school for art history, so I have a huge affinity for stupid landmarks like museums. And, you know, I do believe that things need to be preserved, and I do believe that this is a piece that should be preserved. Now, this guy having a collection, I hope he has a museum or is able to loan this piece for a museum. Like, you know, Seattle has a pop art museum. Like, I hope that they acquire it. Or, like, a weird tangent story is I was walking around Tokyo once when I was there, like, 4 years ago or whatever, and my husband's really into guitars, and we were just so happens to walk around on, and something popped up on my Google Maps that told me that there was ESP guitar store, not guitar museum, in the middle of, like, Shinjuku, and I was like, what the heck? We go up two flights of stairs, and literally it was like, and it's one man's entire collection of ESP guitars. And he had all sorts of weird stuff, like a guitar that was in the shape of the New York Knicks, you know, the basketball team. like their logo as a guitar. Like, you know, and he had all of these other things that was owned by all these Japanese artists and stuff like that. And I spent a really long time in there because my husband was oogling at every guitar and literally almost drooling. And I had to, like, you know, pick his, like, lip off the ground type of situation. Yeah, so the fact that it went for that much is crazy. I think if I had that type of money, I would purchase one tiny townhouse in Brooklyn to live in, because having here is a problem. Just so that I could survive and live on this measly salary that I have. Yeah, I do understand why there was a bidding war for this, because this is a very iconic song that launched this band. And it's a very, very iconic piece of guitar because it's just that beautiful blue finish. I do think it was a good choice to donate some of the money, even though they're probably getting all of the money back. But, you know, I'm all for mental health these days. So good for that. But yeah, that's insane that he himself, Kurt Cobain, has two of the top selling pieces of instruments right now is insane. You would think that Jimi Hendrix would be one of them.
Right. Yeah, but John, I'm with you. I'm not sure why this sold for less than the acoustic. I'm also not a gearhead, so I don't know if that has anything to do with, like, just is what the one guitar actually just, was it originally a more expensive instrument than the other guitar? Are people more nostalgic for the MTV Unplugged performance than they are? I mean, this blue guitar it's so pretty. It's a great guitar. I mean, I'm not a collector, but I can see why someone would want this. Also, isn't the acoustic guitar, isn't that the one that Frances Bean lost in her divorce? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
It might be.
I think it is.
Because I think, I'm pretty sure that acoustic ended up with Frances Bean at some point.
So it was Frances Bean's, and then she lost it in her divorce because her ex claimed that she had given it to him. She said that was not true, and she wanted it. She wanted to keep it, and the judge awarded it to the dude. So I can only assume that he was the one that then auctioned it off for all that money, which is, like, kind of painful to think that, like, the guy who made all the money from that guitar is just some, like, tool bag that Frances Bean made a bad decision and decided to marry for a couple years. Mm. Like, super sad. Mm. Now, maybe I should have realized from the story. I don't know if I just wasn't looking closely. It wasn't clear to me who was selling this one. Who was the current owner?
Great question. I'm not sure that was disclosed. Sometimes in auctions, they don't disclose that, you know, except to the buyer.
But we just because I Googled it quickly. I didn't spend a ton of time looking, but it just seemed like.
Cobain family.
The Cobain family. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Not to drag this out, just give me your quick opinion and then we'll play a track, any of you. So I don't really, you know, people like. There's this one guy that's got, like, Johnny Thunder's boots, and he's like, oh, I've got Johnny Thunder's boots. It's like, well, it's just a pair of boots, man. I mean, like Johnny Thunder's isn't a deity. It's, like, just some guy's boots. I mean, an amazing artist, but it's boots. You know, he wasn't a boot maker, you know?
And stop so, but saying then, boot like that. Stop boots. Saying
boot. So, but then, like, if I can go to the museum and see, like, a mummy or, like, an ancient text, I'll be like, wow, wait! So... It's that hypocritical that I don't really care about Kurt Cobain's guitar, but some text that some nobody wrote 5,000 years ago I'm blown away by. Does that make sense, or was it the same thing?
Well, I guess it depends on, like, what our interests are, right? I was like, you know, like, someone like my husband would totally be into this article, like, this artifact, right? I was like, there's been a lot of times I've gone into museums that are pop culture museums, and I'm just like, oh my God, look. Meanwhile, I go into a Hard Rock Cafe, and I'm just like, ah. you know? So, Yeah, like, I guess it just depends on your interest and what you like, because I have definitely, like, gone into places and I'm like, look at this Roman sculpture. It's so beautiful. And I'm standing there crying in front of it. And my husband's looking at me going, what the heck is wrong with you? Why are you staring at this thing crying?
Well, there you have it. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And along those lines, here's the new track by The Garden. And we're going to play that. We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. And we'll be right back. This is The Garden doing their new single. And the new single is called Freight Yard. And it's off their upcoming album from later this year. Here we go. And then we'll talk about Suck. The Garden have released a new single. The single's called Freight Yard. It's off their upcoming album, which will be their actually, I almost slipped up. Yes, they've got a new album coming out. And their last album was Kiss My Super Bowl Ring on Epitaph Records. The Garden, of course, is Fletcher and Wyatt Shears. They're two twin brothers, and they are the sons of one of the guys from Shattered Faith, a mid-tier 80s California punk/hardcore band. The Garden are extremely popular, and even though they get nothing but universal hate from the commenters, but who cares about that, they are actually way, 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 way more popular than almost any other band we talk about here. Like, they're probably more popular than Against Me, or than, like, I mean, like, I they'll sell out a 5,000-seater like that, and I know that because I saw them play Union Transfer in Philadelphia, and they were awesome. And also, I thought this was kind of interesting. The Garden brothers, I think they're probably about 27 or 28, and they've been doing the thing for about 10 years now. And I actually did the first interview and the first review of them. So,
that's awesome.
So you would think that their fan base would be about 28, 27. Their fan base is like super, like, for some reason, over the past like 3 years, their last two albums, like, the really young people love The Garden. I think it's because they're so hard to classify. Originally, they were a two-piece punk band that basically made like stuff that sounded like Wire. Then they put out one of the greatest albums ever called Ha Ha, which is still mind-blowing. And after, they put out a bunch of really kind of freaky albums that the young people absolutely love. This new track, a lot of people were saying it was like their earliest stuff. I wouldn't say it's like their earliest stuff. I would say it's kind of, it's simpler than their most recent stuff. So it's more spark like the earlier stuff, but it still kind of has this weird, trippy vibe that only they can kind of make that this kind of music. I'm a huge fan of The Garden. I don't love everything that they do, but sometimes they'll put out stuff I don't love it, and then 2 years later I'll be like, oh wow, this is actually like absolutely fantastic. And some of the stuff I love right away. They're an amazing, amazing band. One thing is, and I don't know if you guys want to comment on them. I hate to keep talking about the commenters, but like the commenters are like, I just gotta like, we talk about baseless speculation. Like they're like, the singers look like such insufferable narcissists. One sub guy, it's like, I interviewed them like 3 or 4 times. Like their art is extremely far out. And if you listen to the music, like, these must be some really crazy guys. And I mean, they're relatively famous. I mean, for a punk band, they're famous. They get recognized walking down the street. They're two like super normal dudes. I interviewed them before they were quote famous, during the rise and recently, and they're just like two normal guys, right? Like super friendly, and like everyone's like, they must be assholes. Like no, they're like, honestly, they're way nicer than most popular bands at Punk News, frankly. And then someone else put, I've heard a few songs that got me fascinated, but I think the LA Bad Boy thing is too clown town for, like, LA Bad Boy. Like, what are you talking about? They're two suburban kids, like LA Bad Boy. Like, where do people come up with these things? You know what I mean? It's weird. You know, people really do project, you know, they project their insecurities on others. Anyways, Sammy B, The Garden, are you a fan?
What's up with the gigolo, gigolo makeup? Like, what's up with that?
The jester is a recurring motif they've used for about 5 or 6 years now. And I don't know if they have a literal meaning of it, but they kind of use the jester as an abstract comment, abstract concept, much in the vein of medieval art, whereas the jester is, he represents chaos or, the jester represents a person that can challenge authority, but authority doesn't get mad at him for challenging them that, because that's his job, if you will.
So I'm not a super fan about this stuff. I totally see the kids loving it, because for some strange reason, they're really into things that needs a lot of explanation. Maybe I'm just so old that I can't deal with it anymore. I wasn't a super fan about this. I did get a little freaked out that it was music, and then I was just staring at two, you know, clowns or jesters or whatever you want to call them. Maybe if they used a different photo, it might not have freaked me out as much. I don't know. I don't have much to say. I'm not buying this.
I mean, I also won't buy it, but I don't love everything this band does, but I do like some of what they do, and I thought this song was great, honestly. I thought the chorus was a winner, just like really catchy, and there's a lot of acts right now that combine kind of indie rock with electronic music and pop, and I find it boring, and like whatever criticism I might level at some of that stuff that they've put out that I haven't liked, I would never call it boring. As for like their look, it's like, it's not my favorite. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not like going to be influenced by their fashion choices, but it doesn't like trigger me the way it seems to trigger the commenters, which I find really funny. They just like can't stand it. They can't stand that these guys are like, you know, like weirdly stylish, but also like, I don't know, they have the makeup, but I'm not going out to like, you know, base my new look on these guys, but it also doesn't bother me. They can wear what they want. John, I'm a little surprised though that you like this so much. I mean, I like that you like it.
I've been a fan of The Garden since they put out CDRs before their first tape came out on Burger Records. Yes. And the reason I got into them is at the time Burger Records was charging $3.33 for a tape. And so I would just buy anything that looked somewhat interesting. And I got their first tape. I'm like, wow, this is so cool. And they've gone through a lot of permutations. And like I said, some of them have been challenging for me. But like, they're just a freaky, weird band that are making really interesting, unique music. And I just think they're cool music and challenging and interesting. And check out the album, Ha Ha. It's absolutely fantastic. I did want to mention one of the, what was I going to mention is, when I went and saw them, it was kind of near, I've not seen them much. Last time I saw them, it was when the world had sort of opened back up from COVID, and I'm out on the floor and I'm like, oh man, it's really crowded here. I don't know if I want to be this crowded. And so I went back into the bar area just to get a ginger ale. And because everyone was like 17, there's like no one there. So I had the whole bar to myself. I was like, wow, this is great.
I mean, I do think because what they're doing is kind of unique and it's hard to know what to compare it to. I think that's why it's not obvious to me that you would be a fan of this, John. Like, I also like M, do you respond to this?
I've heard of The Garden, but I think this is kind of the first time I've listened to them. And that's just because there's no real reason. It's just like I have a list of bands that I want to listen to. And then it's like a new band comes up and it's just like there's just so much going on. So, yeah, this was kind of the first real song that I listened to by them. And at first, it was like, okay, what's going on here? And then, yeah, like the chorus hits, and it's like, what? And it was really good, and I was really surprised how like it got stuck in my head and how I was thinking about it and stuff. So I really liked the song. I will have to check out some of their other music to kind of compare it to. But yeah, I really liked it. How it's fresh, and I can say there's not many bands. Well, I don't think there's any bands, actually, that I can compare them to. And I like kind of like the noise element. It was good.
Yeah.
Those looking to get into The Garden should check out their first album, The Life and Times of a Paperclip, which is literally like 12 minutes long. And then the second album, Ha Ha. We got a couple last stories we're going to blast through. Suck, another one of my favorite bands, is about to put out their debut LP. It's called Ribbit, and it's out La Pochette. Surprise, Suck is a German band, and there's four people in the band, and they got a synthesizer, and they used to be a punk band, and then they put out a metal song, and I thought, oh, well, that was kind of cool. They said that they were putting out one metal song, but they're going back to punk, and here's the new song, Gravedigger, and the new song kind of still has a metal vibe. And at first I was like, oh, I don't want this band to go metal, but actually I listened to the song again. I'm like, actually, this song friggin' rocks, so I don't even care if Suck goes metal, or maybe they're just going to walk that line between metal and punk. Anyways, Suck's got a new video. It's the first single from the new album. I pre-ordered the new album. I just think this band is fantastic. Their EP is great. Their 7-inch is great. I just love this band, and I'm super excited for the new album because I now dig this single, and I think the video was kind of cool and weird. And if you watch it, in the video, it's like some guy like digging a grave, and then he gets attacked by a skeleton. It looks like they filmed it on a soundstage, but I looked on their Instagram. But it's actually outside, and the band actually dug graves themselves. You can watch a video of them digging a grave, which is kind of funny. And more, I'm going to guess you enjoy Suck. Am I correct?
I do. They are great. Their 2019 EP was called Frog, and this one's Ribbit, and it's just perfect because it fits together. The video was great. Yeah, like they have cardboard cutouts for their face, so there's a moon and gravestones and all sorts of things, and they're just like watching this like grave robber, and then he gets attacked and dragged in, and they're all just like, yeah, good, you know. So it was funny. It was shot in black and white, and the first shot of the moon, it like, what's the one, the old movie where it's the moon.
I think it's called A Trip to the Moon, I think is what it's called.
I think that's what it is. Like, that, it reminded me of that. And then I was like, cool. Like, because that picture always kind of creeped me out. So it's like, it's at a good tone for the video.
Voyage dans la Lune by Georges Millet.
So yeah, Trip to the Moon.
It did remind me of that. I couldn't quite tell, like, the style was like that, but, like, I couldn't, I was like, why is that guy inside a donut? And I was going to ask if that guy's face was inside a donut. And then I, like, got to the credits and said the moon, and I was like, oh, okay. He was but, yeah, it did remind me of that old style, which I liked, even if it looked like a donut.
So I really, really, really like this video. So I have been binge watching, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, which is like totally fitting into this aesthetic right now. When I first saw this, the video, specifically the moon, reminded me of that Smashing Pumpkins music video.
Sure.
And I was like, that video kind of creeps me out a little bit because it gives me nightmares, but whatever. But I was like, it kind of gave me that. It definitely gave me the, you know, the silent movie type thing happening. I found the video very artsy, very well put together, like directed very nicely. So I appreciated that. The song is actually very good. So I'm like, okay, well, not bad. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll start listening to this as well. I'll let you know, John, if I do. So we'll have one more band to like together, maybe. I don't know.
Fantastic. Yeah. let's talk some politics, and then we'll talk one last story, and we'll wrap this bad boy on up. Political ads are back on Spotify after being banned during Trump's campaign and subsequent presidency, where he and other publications put out things that were blatantly false and not true. People believe them. So in 2020, Spotify banned political advertisements, but they are now back online. Here's what the Spotify spokesperson said. Following our pause of political ads in early 2020, we have spent the past 2 years strengthening and enhancing our processes. It should be process C, right? Systems and tools to responsibly validate and review the content. We are now beginning to sell select political advertisements and opted in third-party podcasts via Spotify Audience Network in the U.S. I feel this is a quagmire which has no real exit, but I'll hold back and I'll let Hallie Bullet take the baton, and then maybe I'll throw my 2 cents in, or maybe I'll just keep them for myself.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, great.
I hate Spotify. I'm so glad I don't use Spotify. It's just, you know, they make money from people having like a paid account. They make money from all kinds of other things that can be advertised. I'm just not sure, you know. I mean, yeah, it's just let's make more money and get into the like incredibly dirty and tricky business of running political ads. It doesn't seem like good business practice to me, but then there's just so many questionable things that Spotify is doing that I don't know why I'm surprised, but I don't know. I just like had like, I don't, I just might, I had like a pit in my stomach when I saw this. I was like, oh no, what kind of nastiness and ugliness is going to be going on Spotify now? And there's so many young people and they're, I mean, I guess you could run into political ads on the internet anywhere. You know, it's not like Spotify is the only place that people are, you know, potentially going to be being fed, you know, misinformation or whatever else could be in these political ads. But I don't know. Yeah, it left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm bummed about this. Yeah, I don't know what the rest of you guys think.
The internet is a bad place. It is just an evil place. And, you know, there's a lot of evil doings on it. I use Spotify every day because I need to drown out the cackling that happens in my office. So I just pump loud, angry music into my headphones and drown out the cackling that happens in my office every
Why
day.
Is there so much cackling in your office?
If you sat in my office, yeah, if you sat in my office and saw the lack of work that happens, you will hate it too. Anyways, I love my job. I really do. Anyways.
I thought like working like Baba Yaga's hut or something, and that's why there was so much cackling. You
know? No, I would rather
and work. Got that one.
It was a good one.
I would rather work like in a pit of hyenas sometimes. But anyways, I digress. So Spotify is my lifeline to sanity sometimes, and I actually love the fact that I didn't hear political ads for a while, because it was really, really bad for a while. I would rather listen to New York City, get your COVID vaccine ads, rather than what is impending for the next election cycle.
Yeah.
Yay. yeah, this stuff happens everywhere. It happens on Facebook. It happens on, you know, all of these social media things we're on, you know, because apparently our phones have ears or something like that. So I am not shocked that they probably want the revenue of ad money. I don't pay for Spotify. I use it for free, so they're not getting my money. but yeah, I have nothing more to say.
You'll have to tell us if you hear any like super wackadoo political ads.
Oh my God, I shall record them.
Yeah.
If there's a commercial, because sometimes there's commercials on the side. Mm. And I will play it back for you.
Okay. John.
I like how the commenters are like, well, it's only on paid opt-in political podcasts. It's A, right, the exact listeners that are most susceptible to these kinds of things. And B, it's like, oh, so you trust an international company that is owned in part by another company that is known for its rights violations. You trust an international company to say, oh, we're right this instant, we're only doing this. And you're just sure they're not going to expand that policy after the initial wave of news has gone away because, like Spotify realized that if political ads are back, it's more of an uproar. But if they just minimize it, then – at their leisure, they can make it all types of, you know, all types of programming, not just podcasts. It's like, I'm just frustrated. And not that I'm Mr. Marx, because I'm definitely not Mr. Marx or whatever, but it's like people like trust gigantic international corporations, which time and time and time again have been proven to do, like, lie and do immoral things. And people are like, but they said they wouldn't do that. It's like, how naive are you? You know, I guess maybe it's because people haven't had much life experience or something. I don't know. Not that I have, but I don't know. I'm not that dumb.
Wait, maybe we should just have Bad Religion run the world. Yeah.
We ought to have Keith Morris run the world. Can I just have a cup of water? Can't your president water be the president? Oh, that's a joke that Hallie Bullet won't get. Hallie Bullet, we did a short 20-minute podcast because John's an idiot and John told everyone 9:30 instead of 9. And so the three of us here were here at 9:30, so we did a short 20-minute bonus episode. So listen to that after you listen to this where I make a Keith Morris joke, which is hilarious, and delighted Sam and M very much. But Harris kind of guy. Anyway, Spotify sucks. I can't say Spotify. One last story. And more.
Tell us. Yes. No problem. Okay. So we just premiered their video for Life is a Voyage, and it's great. So check it out. But the video is shot in the studio. So Life is a Voyage is acoustic, and it's their longest song, and it's the closer for their Live Your Truth Shred Some Gnar EP. So the interesting thing about this is they look like they're having, like, an absolute blast. Like, I mean, to be in that studio, to be recording that with, like, that would have just been amazing. Like, they just look so fun. But anyway, they did mushrooms before they hit record.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire song.
I knew that without you telling me that.
Yeah. So, like, they filmed the video, they did the song, you know, everything on shrooms. And the quote that Catherine provided for the premiere was, yeah, this was recorded before things got blurry and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, I kind of want to know what happened after, you know, too. But, yeah, we kind of talk about that, too, in the interview I did with her, so check that out. But the video is great. The song's great. The EP is wonderful. What did you guys think of Life is a Voyage?
Life is a highway, and I'm gonna ride it all night. Look, no, first of all, kids, drugs are bad. Don't do drugs. As Buzz Osborne says, with regards to drugs and music, do you think if just some random guy took a whole bunch of heroin, he'd be able to play a guitar like Jimi Hendrix? Probably not. So anyways, drugs are bad, but that being said, No Bro is a fantastic band. And I hate to, well, actually, I like using the phrase M more band, but I don't want to overuse that, but I'm going to use that. No Bro is the classic M Moore band, and that they're fantastic. They're funny. They rock. They've got topics that I haven't heard before, or if I have heard it, not that often. The music is kind of classic rock, but very punk. And they're just an interesting. It's not four sad dudes singing about how they're friends and they like whiskey. It's people just doing different stuff that hasn't been done before, and it's a lot of fun. And that's why all the young people are into it, because young people like fun, and I like fun too. And so this band is great, and they just keep getting better and better. That's what I'm saying.
This is like so. This is different from the other stuff we've heard from them, right?
Yeah.
But I really liked it. They're just and you're right. Like that's exactly what it's. They're just having so much fun, and not just in this video. Yes, in this video, and yes, I could tell they were tripping on something. But just in anything they do, they just see. I really feel such joy, like coming from them. Whenever I watch a video or really listen to their music, I just feel that I am watching or listening to people that just like absolutely love making shit together. And so it's just to me, like one of the things that just makes this band so charming. And then, you know, just as someone that just love harmonies in pop music and rock music, it's so awesome to me that all of these women can sing. I mean, how many bands can you say that about, right? Like they can do 3 and 4 part harmony because all of them can sing. It's like, I mean, what I guess you can say that about Weezer, but like there's not that many other bands like that, right? You know, so I think they're so charming. I love this.
Yeah, I also really, really love this video. It's, you know, I'm not a super fan of acoustic things sometimes, but I really do enjoy that, like, you know, they did this video in, you know, in the studio. What I did really, really love is, like, the snippets of video where they're not playing, like, mm-hmm. when they're being themselves, when they're being wacky, you know, I would love to be their best friends and just hang out. Mm-hmm. Not on shrooms, because Sam don't do that. But you know, but yeah, no, like I really, really enjoyed this.
Well, there you have it, and listener, you'll be able to enjoy it right now because we're gonna play it and we're gonna wrap this episode up with some No Bro. And in the meantime, we'll see you next week. Hallie, Emerson, M, any closing words you want the listeners to know before we play "Life Is a Voyage" acoustic version by No Bro? Anything anybody wants to throw out there?
Happy Pride Month!
Woo! Nice! Yee-hee!